And our next case this morning is Thurman v. Village of Homewood.
May it please the court. Mr. Thurman.
It's an unusual circumstance, Mr. Flaxman, for you to be representing a police officer, but go ahead.
Actually, Judge, I remember being before you before representing a police officer.
I said it's a rare occasion, though.
Well, I, police officer,
I know you like police officers, Mr. Flaxman. Go ahead.
Some of my best friends are police
officers.
I think I better get this history after the arguments are over.
Mr. Thurman is an African-American male, was off-duty Chicago police officer, and he was stopped in a store in Homewood. There was no issue about whether it was okay to stop him. When he was stopped by some officers who said, "We understand you have a gun," Mr. Thurman said, "Yeah, I'm a Chicago police officer." He produced his Chicago police identification. The Homewood officers didn't know or didn't believe that Chicago police identification is Chicago police identification, and started interrogating him. One of the things that they did after about 15, 20 minutes was to ask him for the phone number of the place where he worked, of his district. When he gave them that, when they finally asked for that and he gave them that, they called up and the desk officer just said, "Yeah, we have an Officer Thurman," and they said they let him go. The claim on the detention is that it took too long. It was unreasonable. He was detained for an unreasonable period of time. After we filed the lawsuit, the four defendant officers went to a lawyer, and the lawyer wrote a letter to Chicago Police Department saying, "Mr. Thurman, when he was involved in this interaction with my clients, wasn't properly wearing his handgun and was not cooperative with them." And Chicago Police Department waived the provisions of a state statute which require that all complaints be sworn under oath and investigated, and so told Mr. Thurman that you're being interrogated and investigated and you have certain rights because certain things could happen to you. This seems to be, on its face, a retaliatory act. The district court said, well, it wasn't done under color of state law, so it's not a 1983 action to sue for the retaliation. And all it is state law defamation, and I declined to exercise supplemental jurisdiction over that because I don't even have supplemental jurisdiction, but it didn't arise out of the same occurrence. There's something wrong with that for the police officers who were sued to do undertake a retaliatory act which is intended to chill the exercise of First Amendment rights, and then for the district judge to say, "I don't have jurisdiction, go sue in state court for defamation." It's wrong to retaliate the way that these officers retaliated against Mr. Thurman. And it should be that they were acting under color of state law. The only reason they were able to make their complaint was because they were officers. They said, "We were officers and we had this interaction while we were working as officers with Mr. Thurman." That's something that is close enough to to misusing their office that it should be actionable under 1983. The question with the detention claim is that was a jury question. Whether taking 15 or 20 minutes was a reasonable length of time. It should have taken 2 minutes. It shouldn't have taken 15 minutes. And it took 15, 20 minutes because they were giving him a hard time. They were playing 20 questions, Mr. Thurman. What buildings are behind the 15th District? And at one time there had been public housing buildings, but they weren't. Hadn't been there for 5 years. Where's your commission card, Mr. Thurman? And Chicago police officers don't have commission cards. A jury could easily find that reasonable police officers would have said, "What's the phone number of your district?" Then they would have called that number and said, "Okay, Mr.
Well, they might have said, "Why didn't the plaintiff give him the phone number? I call this number and find out."
They didn't ask him. They were.
No, I said he could have volunteered it, couldn't he?
he might have been arrested. When he was volunteering stuff, they were yelling at him. They were telling him, you're not a cop, you're under arrest, you're impersonating a cop, you're going to jail, confess to us. They weren't treating him as if he would as if he really was a Chicago police officer.
Counsel, you're skipping over a very important item of evidence that's undisputed in this record, which is the altered firearms registration card that your client presented, which supported the suspicion that he was not a cop, but that these were false identification.
Well, it supported making the phone call. When they finally made the phone call,
it supported continuation of the detention for further investigation, which is the operative point.
But what is the further investigation? Is it calling the Illinois State Police to say, did you have somebody named Thurman when he has all his identification?
Is there any evidence in the record to support the proposition that that was anything other than a mistake?
Yes. In the defendant's brief,
they state at page 17 that Thurman said he was employed by the Illinois State Police.
That's a disputed question of fact. He never, he showed Chicago Star. He never said he worked for the state police. It certainly could have been a mistake, but that isn't what they say in their brief. They say Thurman told us he worked for the state. That's why they called the state. They the defendants say in this court it wasn't a mistake.
Well, even accepting your version that that's not what he told them, that he told them that he was a Chicago police officer at District 21 or whatever it was, is there anything that supports the proposition that they intentionally prolonged this investigation by calling the wrong police agency?
A jury could say that they were just so...
Based on what? You've got to have some evidence from which the jury could draw that inference.
That they did not ask him, what's the phone number? They acted as if, we know everything. We know you're not a cop. We know you don't know the number. We're not going to ask you for it. We're going to look it up ourselves and call the Illinois State Police. The jury could say, these cops, these are white cops. This is a black guy who doesn't look like a cop. He would not be a cop on TV. And the jury could say that these guys were just treating him as if he was not a cop, as if they just refused to ask him, what's the phone number? And I'm sure that this is beyond Your Honor's experience. Mr. Your Honor doesn't carry a gun, isn't African American, doesn't go walking around in stores with the gun. But what happened there, all they had to do was ask him, what's the phone number? And they didn't ask him that. They said, what buildings are behind the 15th District? Where's your commission card? And you're going to jail, you're impersonating a cop. All they had to do was say, what's the phone number? And they did that after 20 minutes. A jury could say that wasn't reasonable. They should have done it immediately after 3.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
Mr. Neumeister?
May it please the court. Counsel? Good morning, Your Honors. Dave Neumeister on behalf of the Village of Homewood and Defendant Officers Strunk, Meisner, Barema, and Wiest. First of all, let's dispel the suggestion that race had anything to do with what's going on here. There was never anything put in the record that this was a racial incident in any respect. This case turns, as Mr. Flaxman said, in large part on whether the conduct of the officers in detaining and questioning Mr. Thurman was reasonable under the circumstances with which they were presented. When you're analyzing this issue, consider this. If you're a customer in that Home Depot, do you want to make sure that these officers are doing everything that they need to do to make sure of Mr. Thurman's identity before they give him his gun back? I think we all do. Mr. Thurman's trying to make this issue into being all about the time involved in the detention, as if there were some sort of a constitutional alarm clock that went off once a detention or a questioning hit the 15 or 20 minute mark, and that's just not the way the law works. The Supreme Court said so in the Sharp case that we've cited in our briefs. What the officers did here was clearly reasonable under the circumstances with which they were presented and the facts known to them at the time. They're confronted with a man with a gun in their own jurisdiction in a public location. There's some, when they're initially presented with identification materials, those materials, as you pointed out, Judge Sykes, are somewhat confusing and uncertain based on the firearms registration card, and they don't want to take Mr. Thurman's word for it just immediately without doing anything further, that the Chicago police badge that they are shown is legitimate. And there's also just some plain, honest confusion that took place here in the conversation that they were having that is completely reasonable and expected under the circumstances. And there was a bit of a delay before Mr. Thurman presented them with the phone number to the 21st District of Chicago where the employment could be verified. And as Judge Bauer pointed out, there's nothing to stop Mr. Thurman from giving them that information much earlier in the conversation. When these officers are deciding what course of action to take, they're considering not just Mr. Thurman's rights, as they well should, but also the safety of the public in this store that they are sworn to protect. They struck the appropriate balance here by just taking a couple of extra steps and maybe a little extra time to make sure that Mr. Thurman's identity checked out under the circumstances they were presented with before returning his weapon to him. Once they verified his identity, they let him go, and they left the scene themselves. He was never confined. He was never harassed. There's no suggestion of any sort of physical confrontation or physical harm. So what the officers did here was strike a balance that was sensitive to the concerns of everyone involved. And the district court was also correct to decide this at the summary judgment stage. Judge Moran, in his opinion, was very careful to point out that he was resolving all presumptions, as he's supposed to do under the summary judgment standard, in favor of the non-movement. It's clear from his opinion, and that's what he did. Reasonableness can be decided as a matter of law when the facts, as they are here, are undisputed.
What about this phone call to the state police? What are the facts on that, instead of the Chicago Police Department?
I think there was a legitimate misunderstanding somewhere in the communication that went back and forth between Mr. Thurman and the officers. The officers, at some point, understood Mr. Thurman to say or assumed that he was referring to the Illinois State Police. So that's what they called. It's an honest mistake, and there's nothing to show that it was an intentional act on the part of the officers to delay or harass Mr. Thurman in any way. As we said, there was some confusing information exchanged. This was only a small part of that confusing information. If that's the impression the officers had, they would have been remiss not to call the Illinois State Police. And if Mr. Thurman knew that that's who they were calling, he could have dispelled that early on by, again, as Judge Bauer said, just providing the phone number to where he was assigned, the 21st District of the Chicago Police Department. So I don't think any of that raises any kind of a genuine factual issue about anything involved here, especially the way Judge Moran resolved this, with every reasonable presumption being given to the non-movement. And since, if you go on the presumption, as we're doing here, that the officer's conduct was reasonable, then the village can have no municipal liability under the Monell case. The only other issue that's hanging out there is this supposed retaliation claim that we're referring to, and a couple of issues arise there. First of all is whether the officers were acting under color of law. If they were not, then the claim falls away, as Judge Moran ruled. The point is that anybody can file a complaint with the Chicago Police Department, and they didn't need the accoutrements of their office or the authority of their office to do that. Anybody could have done it, so they're not acting under color of law. The other point is that the only issue raised by Mr. Thurman as to that complaint with the police department was some sort of fear that it might interfere with his employment interest. And as the judge pointed out, Judge Moran, there's no constitutionally protected interest in continued employment, and that's clear under the Dean case that we've also cited. Based on all of those issues, the judge was clearly correct in granting summary judgment, and we would ask that that ruling be affirmed. If your honors have no further questions, I'll thank you for your time and attention.
Thank you, counsel. Mr. Flaxman, 3 minutes.
The point was raised that the officers were entitled to investigate. And that's not disputed, but what did they do to investigate? First, they called the Illinois State Police. Then they called the Chicago Police. And they also badgered Mr. Thurman. They didn't do any other investigation. And we're told that it was reasonable to call the Illinois State Police because Mr. Thurman had a Chicago police badge. He had a Chicago police identification card. He had an FOID card that said Chicago police, but maybe he worked for the Illinois State Police, so let's call them first. A jury, I think, could say that that's nonsense. The man is a Chicago police officer. Why do you call the state police? And if they had called Chicago, this would have been over in 3 minutes, not in 15, and they wouldn't have been able to badger him the way that they did. The argument about the retaliation point overlooks the cause of action, that when you do something to deter someone in retaliation for the exercise of First Amendment rights, that's a constitutional violation, whether or not it gets you fired from your job. That's what our retaliation claim is. And I thank the court for its attention.
Thank you, counsel. The case will be taken under advisement.